Hey, it's the Friday night hangout, grabbing the brew, shooting the breeze. I'm here with Dan from Dartmouth. How's it going, Dan?
Pretty good. I guess it's a week and a bit into the new year, and yes, resolutions have been broken already.
Don't worry about
so
it.
So sad. That's a problem. It's like you have all that wonderful food that enters into the household, and it doesn't immediately just go poof, gone. It just kind of trickles through the system. Literally.
Well, I ended up with a box of Toffifee on my desk at work today.
Ooh. So. And it doesn't help the fact that chocolate is so cheap right now.
Oh, my God. Yes.
You should have seen that Krista was tweeting out the – she found little chocolate Santas for 29 cents each. Yes. So, I mean, if you don't buy it, you're pretty much helping the terrorists win. So you got to do what you got to do.
You know, you take one for the team and you just run it off.
Mm-hmm.
Run it off, people. All right, we're just going to get started slowly here. And, it's just a small panel tonight, me and Dan. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. We're going to do the show live anyway. If you listen to the podcast, it will be probably a little shorter podcast than usual, which is fine.
I will be your ebony to your ivory.
It looks like we got some of the YouTube chat issues kind of resolved. So if you're watching on the YouTube view page, there is a chat window there, and I got that open here. And well, if you're there, we'll interact, I guess. Dan's going to be monitoring some Twitter if we're doing this live. Of course, if you're watching, listening via podcast, well, of course, it's delayed here. But Dan, what are you drinking tonight?
Well, just like I had from last week, where I had a wonderful beer donated to me from you, I have a second one, the Grand Noisseur. I hope I'm not destroying that, but it's a Imperial Stout, extra strong at 9%. And just so you can get a sense of the darkness of it, you can see that light cannot penetrate its mighty strength. Very good.
It is a really good beverage for sure. So definitely is a good one here. I am drinking the latest release. Camera's here now. From Garrison, the Nitwit Belgian wit beer, Belgian style.
Ooh, the wheat ale.
So this is part of their home brew from a few years ago. And I think by far they're one of the most popular offerings here from their homebrew competition. So this is good, 4.8% ABV. So it's just a very nice, think Whole Garden, think some of those type of beers. And that is pretty much what you get right there.
I love me some wheat beers. That's my bag. I have a couple of really strong lugs. I love the Black and Tans. I love my Guinness. But if I had to go for my go-to sort of category of beer, it's definitely the wheat beers. That's where it's at for me.
Oh, yeah. Now, Dan, I'm going to give you a non-related beer question here. Did you get the call when I sent out the invites?
Did I get the call?
Yeah. When you jumped into the hangout, did you get the
invites? Oh, yes. Yeah. So I got I've got way too much tech in my life. So I've got more than one source yelling at me saying, get your ass on the computer now.
All right. Well, no, I'm just mentioning that because Carrie's on Facebook. He says he didn't get the call, but I sent it out three times through the usual means, Carrie. If you're watching, if you're one of the few people that are watching right now, you got to get on the Google Plus as usual. Yeah.
So if you got your Chrome browser and you've got the little Hangout icon on the Chrome browser there, you just click on it and then you should say join Hangout.
That's right. We did one little change though. We moved, usually when we prepare the events, we do it all through Google Plus, through the events thing. And since now Google Plus pretty much discarded everything except photos and hangouts. Everything's a big mess. So I said, let's just do the event scheduling through Facebook where we discuss about the topics, but how the panelists get their notifications that it's time to jump into the hangout still the same way. So hopefully Carrie can jump in here. Got a few people watching here, folks. If you are watching live, use the FN Hangout hashtag on Twitter. We'll be monitoring that. And if you're watching on the YouTube watch page, it says there should be a chat right there on the right side. I'm monitoring that. So you can do that. Dan, let's start with the first topic tonight, which is really interesting.
Yes, interesting. In a crazy mofo sort of way.
I think kids are just going a little crazy here. So a naked man wearing a Ronald Reagan mask peeps through the window, terrifies the neighbors on New Year's Eve.
Now, is it terrifying because he's wearing the mask, or is it because he's naked, or is it really the combination, the synergistic combination of both?
Probably both, but you know, they're in North Carolina, not quite cold, but he is getting cold. He is apparently wearing a sock. So, but you can see there he's looking back. So he's probably have his buddies there, you know, daring him on, that kind of stuff there. So, you know, he's going to try to, you know, do the good college attempt to peep through, or, you know, through. Oh, I think maybe he's done there, but this, I'm looking at this video. This seems to me like a prank. This seems to be like a house party that went a little crazy and then just happened to be going to the house that has a pretty good surveillance system for live video.
Well, you know what? I'm going to come from this from a different point of view. I've watched a lot of Japanese horror movies, and this screams of The Grudge or The Ring or anything like that. It's gray, it's fuzzy. There's a sort of Japanese horror story involved with this.
Some Ringu.
Yeah, Ringu, yes, for those who actually have seen the original.
So anyway, so I when I saw this, I kind of chuckled a bit because there's a new book on Ronald Reagan this week.
What's it called?
Jesus, just called Reagan, I think it is.
Reagan?
Basically talked about how he, you know, should give him credit as a president more than we thought he should, because, you know, first term, he tried a couple different things with, you know, cut budget, reduce government, and better defense. And then his second term, he was all, you know, get rid of all the nukes and totally switch things over. So more astute politician than we give him credit for. Even the fact that, you know, the last few years were he was kind of loopy or losing it.
Yeah. I mean, I was born in 1974. So, I mean, I remember the Reagan years, but bear in mind, I remember it from the vantage point of a fairly young kid. So I don't know a tremendous amount aside from the buzzwords of his reign, such as, you know, Reaganomics and the things that the major milestones in his career involving, you know, the Berlin Wall is it Perestroika? I always forget which one it is.
Well, the biggest one that I remember going in to see my grandmother's house and the assassination attempt.
That was
on live TV, you know, and walking in there. So that was a huge, huge event, you know, back when live TV. And I think that was the same year where Reagan and the Pope, I think they had their assassination attempts, I think the same year.
Really?
I can't remember. I think we talked about that a little while ago here. But hey, folks, if you're watching live, if you're on Twitter, use the hashtag FN Hangout. If you want to leave us a comment, we're monitoring Twitter tonight. Or if you're watching on the YouTube page, there should be a little chat window so you can chat with us here. We're talking about the naked guy with a Ronald Reagan mask. But anyway, so we got a little little 45-degree tangent there. Let's move on to the next topic, Dan, which is the covered bridge. Potato chip workers are staging a strike.
Now, for me personally, the only reason that these chips actually get into my vantage is simply because they have one titled Storm Chips. Now, if they didn't have one called Storm Chips, would I be searching out this brand for some other reason as opposed to, you know, a tasty set of Cool Ranch Doritos? I can't speak for that.
Well, you know, they were really smart after the last winter, maybe two winters, that Twitter, at least here in Halifax, every time there was a snowstorm, people would go and buy chips and basically stay inside until the storm was over so that they can shovel the next morning. Covered Bridge out in Heartland, New Brunswick, were smart enough to copyright the storm chips trademark. And, you know, so basically it's just a mixed bag of mixed chips, which kind of makes sense, kind of fun. But really, they are under some labor issues right now. So they got about, 32 members or 16 mm-hmm. union members. They're picketing there. So, you know, your basic stuff, wage, you know, callbacks in terms of seniority and all that and what have you there. But I really like some of the – well – being from the area, well, close, a few minutes drive from Heartland there. So there's really only a couple things you do in Heartland. You either pick potatoes, you either pack potatoes, or in this case with Covered Bridge, you make potato chips. And, you know, and you can probably expect that, you know, the wages are not that great. You know, they're minimum, if not a tad more. So,
yeah.
You know, having the union come in on this one here, coming down hard. Now they're doing the big boycott of the products. The owner, though, I don't think helped himself very much by being very anti-union and basically saying, you know, we'll give one of the quotes here, we'll give the employees what they want, but not within a union environment kind of stuff there. You know, I think started out strong like the Just Us, but I think after a while, I think he'll have to fold here. But it's kind of interesting to see something up in Heartland, because I don't think McCain, which is kind of next door, and they do a lot of potatoes too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a union shop, and Irving's definitely not a union.
No, oh God, no.
Environment
oh,
here.
So. Oh gosh, could you imagine? they would be slaughtered by the Irving assassins.
So I'm really curious to see how this is going to pan out, how the boycott's going to work.
Yeah. By the way, I do like they have a blurb inside the article talking about quotes from some of the picketers and picketees, I guess. And I do love the last one that says, "So I'm done, Carl." Who is Carl Flanagan, National UCFW representative? Screw you and your effing union.
That was the owner too that said that too. But there was one thing though. I think there was one worker there was for 5 years, only got a 10-cent increase in wages in
yeah,
5 years.
Yeah, for 5 years.
Yeah, so you know, it could be doing a bit. The fact that the chips are selling pretty much everywhere now, or mm-hmm. at least everywhere in the Maritimes. Yeah, it could be given a little bit more to the workers. But again, you know, you got to think of it. It's a part-time, you know, you think about that environment, man. It's like when the potatoes are coming in, they're making chips, and I'm sure they do a lot of layoffs and callbacks and all that stuff because of that seasonal work.
Yeah. So we started off saying that they trademarked the term storm chips. Who's the originator of that term?
I think Stephanie Domey from CBC, I think she's taking credit for that.
Okay.
I think it started off in Twitter, who knows. But then, she's taking credit. And then in January, I think the company went and they filed the actual copyright. So missed out on some moolah.
I don't know. How can you copyright that for prior art?
Well, Stephanie didn't copyright it, so.
Well, it was. What did you not consider that to be part of the public vernacular? Like, I'm no fancy big city lawyer, but.
Well, it's funny. Canada, CIPO, Canadian Intellectual Property Office, mm-hmm. have a really good website about this stuff, and I did attend a few talks there. Basically, you got to protect your shit. If you want to get paid. So Stephanie should have basically spent the $50 online to copyright the terms and should have been protected and stuff. Same thing like any works that people do in terms of books, videos, software, mm-hmm. plans, you know, you do it online, it's $50. It's a bit of a hassle, but at least it is protected so that when a company wants to use it for chips, they're going to say, hey, you got a leg to stand on. Ken, he's using the YouTube chat there. Ken, thanks buddy for jumping in. He comments here that now I know where my sock went. I was blaming the dryer. What? Ken is a big fan of the white tube socks from gym class.
Oh, those are the garbage socks. Okay, I'm going to do my running spiel here.
Okay.
There's a lot of people that if you go to a professional running store and you see the socks there and they sell them for, you know, $15 and your eyes literally like a cartoon wolf go, ooga, ooga, as soon as you see that. Like, why would I spend $15 on a pair of socks when I can get, you know, 73 of them for like $8.99 at a Zellers, if Zellers existed anymore? Mm-hmm. There is a huge difference between those socks. Tube socks are great, but they only feel great after like two or three wears. After that, you know, the elasticity's gone. You'll tear through them like there's like, you know, a hot knife through butter, especially with the sharpened toenails and that. Bleh. Those $15 socks will last you for years. So that's my 2 cents on the white sock.
You know, you got to treat your feet well. That means spending the money on the socks and on the shoes, boots, whatever you want to use. So
that's what I say. Treat your feet well and make sure you get at least 3-ply. Because those are the two areas in your body you got to treat well.
Ken also says here that was really stupid by the owner. We're talking about the Storm Chips owner. Yeah, the owner did not help himself at all. Mm. At all.
No.
He also says, Happy New Year, guys. And he says, Dan, we should try the socks from Tilly. Tilly seems to make some nice socks.
Really? Tilly? I will have to look at that.
Yes. And I'm trying to think of a store locally here that has Tilly other than the hats.
Would it be like an MEC? Would they carry that?
I don't know. Now, for those of you who are thinking, Tilly hats, well, they have quite a substantial clothing line other than the hats. So yeah.
Actually, isn't there that one store in the Sunnyside Mall? They carry a lot of Tilly products in there.
You know, I should try that. Yeah, I should take a look.
Yeah.
Dress socks, he says. Best dress socks. Yeah, you know what? Dress socks.
Good dress socks are good. I have to, like, I'm military, so I get my rations of socks constantly. So I'm terrible for actually buying my own socks now, aside from running socks. But yeah, I really enjoy a good pair of socks and 3-ply toilet paper.
Hey, Carrie jumped in from Cape Breton. How's it going, Carrie?
It was painful, but I got it.
All right. And we got your static sounds too. So. All right, well,
you better?
I don't know. Depends if you hook up an antenna to it or something.
Screw it. We'll do it live.
We'll do it live. That's okay. Hey, we were just finishing up the conversation about the Storm Chips. Have you been following that story at all, Carrie? Or?
No, missed that one.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's okay. We'll move on to the next one then. Well, actually, we'll ask Carrie, what is he drinking tonight? What are you drinking, Carrie? And we lost Carrie.
Oh, maybe he's already knee-deep in the sauce.
No, Cape Breton. Cape Breton internet access.
Okay. That's what we need some, was that Google Fiber.
That'd be nice.
Coursing through the Atlantic coast veins.
You know what would be nice, though, coursing through our veins, would be this 180, 100 and whatever beer that Buddy found
underneath
the sludge in the northwest arm of Halifax.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a good thing for our veins.
You know what? I'm going to go on a little rant here. So, okay, so this guy was scavenging in the Northwest Arm in Halifax, you know, trying to find some sunken treasure, which might be some.
He's going to find like unexploded ordnance is what he's going to find.
Yeah. So he found a beer bottle with, well, liquid in it. And basically the bottle seemed to have come from Alexander Keith's brewery from between 1872, 1890. So about as old as Canada, almost 175 years old. Mm-hmm. And, well, my big thing is this is like the fifth story we've had on this goddamn bottle, beer. who knows it's beer. It's been sitting in sludge, you know, for all this time. Who knows if it's beer or not? I think Buddy just wanted a payday. Keith didn't want the bottle. The museums didn't want the bottle. So who gets the bottle? Chris from Stillwell that brings it to somebody at Dow to get it tested. And, you know, they take a little vial and take a little sip. Describes the beer as, what is it here? Tree rooty, nutty, a little tree fruit note, a cherry note, and a lot of sulfur rotten egg.
Why? This falls under the category of will it blend? For those who don't know what I'm talking about, this is about like, you know, I've got a brand new iPhone. What will happen if I throw in this blender? It's like, why would you? This is for the same reason that people have discovered that, you know, coffee that goes through a cat's anus tastes better. It's like, why are you putting yourself through that?
Carrie, were you glued to this story over the last couple months? Did you ever wondered, oh, I wonder if that beer tastes any good or not?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
I watched a couple of the stories and read. And even though that he's not getting the recognition from the original proprietor for it, that would have been a good idea if Keith had jumped on it and said, "Yes, that's our beer. We made it a long time ago, and we should have it in our hands instead of somebody else."
It's back in his. It's back in the tank of his toilet.
Brewery didn't claim it. They didn't want it.
No. If they tested it, they gave it back to the dog.
I agree with the toilet comment.
Yeah, no, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have this little one-off beer at Stillwell. You know, hey, you know, here's a vintage ale. Anyway, Ken says probably tasted better than Labatt 50.
Ooh, or Black Label for that matter.
Ooh, yeah, good choice. Or the O'Keefe back in the day. Ooh, man, those are a rough beer. Man, we're having internet issues with Carrie, though. So Carrie's jumping in and out. It's okay.
That's nasty.
That's okay.
So is there, like, I mean, I want to see the one picture that's in the article. Well, there's two. There's one of Chris from Stillwell, but then there's also the one where they're, you know, you can see the scientists, you know, extracting fluid from the bottle. Do they actually have a picture of the labeling on the bottle? Like, did that still exist? Was it etched into the glass? So it would be interesting to see what the bottle itself looks like.
No, I think it was just the green tinted bottle there. I think any label would have been wiped out there. I think one of the previous five stories that CBC has done on this bottle, I don't think was anything on it there. So.
And how did they prove the fact that it was, like, you know, an actual bottled beer from Keith's versus, like some sort of sailor, you know, pissing in a bottle and corking and tossing overboard? Which would explain a lot of the sulfur taste, too.
Well, I wonder, why would you cork it?
Well, just because, like, you know, he's, like, thinking well into the future how funny it'll be, you know, someone 175 years from now taking a drink from his piss. Ha, ha, ha!
It tastes a little tree fruit.
Which, kids out there right now, go and steal one of your bottles from your mom or your dad, you know, fill it up with the piss, throw it into the ocean, then, you know, you'll have a good laugh 200 years from now. So that's an avoiding tourist trick.
You know, I don't want to make fun of Chris at Stillwell, because I go to Stillwell. I spend a lot of money at Stillwell. But
I'm not making fun of him. I'm just... wondering how do they prove the fact that it is, like, originally beer or not pre-filtered beer?
You know what? I am feeling pretty confident that he probably, because if you look at the picture of the bottle, it was kind of half full.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much a half bottle of piss right there.
Yes.
Hey, folks, you're probably wondering, hey, Jim, you got a nice looking hat tonight.
Hey, Jim, you got a nice looking hat there tonight.
Hey, thanks, Sam, for noticing. This is basically, we got this in yesterday. And I see, still got the label on it here. So this is, I'm trying out some new styles with the logo on it. And we got the, this one's called the Oil Field Camo. So it's a camouflage pattern with items from the oil and gas industry. Now, for no particular reason other than it's using the same color scheme as regular camo, just using different shapes. So I'm not going to be too political on that. But it seems to be registering with a lot of people in terms of popularity. So we'll probably have this for sale on the website. However, I do have another one, which is, this is one for the ladies. I do have another camo, a little mossy oak or real tree with some pink highlights here. I know some people, some of the ladies wanted a little pink there in their camo, fairly popular. So again, same thing with the logo. So we'll probably give this away at some point, and the camo I'll give away this one. So if anybody who wants to like it, check it out. I'll probably post some giveaway either on Twitter or on the website, so keep an eye on it. So if you want your hands on it, you can have it.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
For the pink one, have you ever thought of actually changing the emblem colors so that the shield behind the bear itself is pink to match? Just like a special edition or something along that line?
Well, you know, that's a pretty good idea. Because I've tried, I've got some samples here of what it looks like when you use a single color.
Mm-hmm.
And here's one behind like a camo pattern. And you can see that pink will probably do the trick too. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Might have to do that. I just wanted to see what kind of... what kind of interest it would be for the women's camo. I know there's a few women, few female fans here of Voting Chores that like some of the pink stuff. So
whoa, amen. Pink is a very universal color.
Some say you might be purple.
Exactly.
Mm. I think that's the dress argument.
Mm. All right. From Newfoundland, we got Mike with us tonight. How's it going, Mike?
Good. You guys? Sorry I'm late.
No. Awesome. We were wondering if you were on a rig in the middle of the ocean.
Nope. I was at a hockey game tonight.
Oh, nice. Who was playing?
Portland Pirates and St. John's Ice Caps.
Actually, Jim, we may have a full-blown pokeroo scenario here.
Oh, yes.
We can't have both Mike and Carrion at the same time. Like, there's a single amount of like internet bandwidth, and it's being diverted right now.
Yes.
Maybe we stalled a Cape Breton bandwidth or something.
Ken was saying on Twitter, is there a Hunter Orange? Actually, Ken, last year I did have a Hunter Orange. Basically, I had the Mossy Oak. I had the Mossy Oak. If you look at one of my profiles, and then I had the Hunter Orange on the bill here and then on the back. And then I had a full-blown traditional Hunter Orange, full-blown Hunter Orange with the 3M Reflective Go 360 around the side and on the top of the bill here. So that was last year's styles. This year I want to try a little bit something different there. So I know a few people was asking about trucker style. Not too crazy about trucker styles. I figured this would be a good compromise. Kind of looks like a trucker hat. So.
Yeah. You got to say something along the line.
Oh, yeah.
We don't drink Duff. We only drink FUD.
Mike has last year's version.
That's last year's hat. Orange on the front, and there's a blaze on the back.
Yeah. Very good hat. I like it a lot. Ended up doing really good. Yeah, no, Mike.
That's the other one. I'm not sure if you showed that one yet or not.
No, I didn't show that one. I was just showing up the new styles that I got. So the other one, Mike, I was showing there was the another camo with the pink.
Yep. Nice.
Something else I wanted to ask you, Jim.
Yeah.
So
I'm just wondering, is it you have a giant ruler behind you, or are you actually really tiny?
No, I am. You know, in the old Superman Legion of Superhero comics where, you know, he kind of goes into that bottled city?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Same thing in my basement.
So. That keeps your computing costs low, then.
No, this is the ruler here is just one of these Pinterest things I did last year where it's an oversized ruler to measure your child as he or she grows.
Ah, okay.
So it's a 6-foot oversized ruler. And
does it have the metal edge as well, or is it just
wood? No, it doesn't. Just wood and some marker. So this is one of the other ones I got to get rid of. So I had a whole bunch of orders. And then people didn't want them afterwards, so I got one more to get rid of, so I'll get rid of that. So,
So Jim, I've moved on to the next beer. I'm just gonna say this right now. I've moved on to the Boxing Rocks Bottle Blonde, a paltry 5%. For the alcohol content, and not feeling this one.
No,
it's got a bit of a metallic taste to it, and it's turning me off on this one. Like I'll power through it because I'm a trooper. I believe in the product, but definitely compared to what I just finished prior, it's
it's definitely a step down.
Yeah. And I do like a lot of Boxing Rock stuff. Like I tried the Triskaidekaphobia, which was fantastic, really good. I really enjoyed that one.
It wasn't a bad one.
Yeah.
Might as well, since we're doing what we're drinking here, I'm doing the Garrison Nitwit Belgian style wheat ale. Really good.
Oh, that's nice.
Easy, nice and drinking. Yeah, made it to Newfoundland last year, I believe. Mike, what are you drinking?
I've got the Yellow Belly. Cranberry apple cider.
Ooh.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that one before. It's really nice.
Sorry, who makes that one?
Ooh. Yellow Belly Brewery in St. John's.
Okay.
Ooh.
It's 7% ABV, and it has local cranberries in it.
Yes.
Hmm.
You know what? Cider, I'm surprised there's not more cider action going on. I was listening to a podcast, NPR, and from Maine, and Maine is not only do they have like 80 craft breweries for beer, they also are the golden age of cider. They have an incredible amount of craft cider producers. And, Nova Scotia, they get their apples too. So I'm surprised that that is something that Nova Scotia, Newfoundland hasn't really jumped into. And not doing the light, crispy ciders. I'm talking about, well, Mike has 7% hard cider that, that is a good.
But what about Strongbow?
No, don't say that. Ken on the chat says that he's not a fan of the carbonated cider. Same thing too. You look at Red Rover from New Brunswick. They do basically the same thing with the 7% ciders. They're not looking at making it all fizzy like wine or anything like that or champagne. It is a hard drink. Hard apples, but Maine is one huge area for that right now. Mm. So.
Yeah, this one I have tonight doesn't seem to be very carbonated at all. Mm. Much less than a Pilsner.
Yeah, no, and I don't think you would too. And I forget there's the style. There's one style that's nice and fizzy, which is what Stutz and some of the Strongbow. That's what they'll do. But then you get the other style, which is not as carbonated, but a lot higher on the alcohol.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, well, let's move on to the next topic here, which was one of Dan's, and Dan just moved out. Basically, healthish eating is good enough. So we've had in the news some new, in the U.S., their meal... guidelines or their eating guidelines, food guidelines, the pyramid or whatever they call that. Dan, we're talking about the food.
The Battle of the Ish. Wow. Sorry, I had to bail on it. I had to move on to something else, so. I can't. I tried. I really did.
I was talking about how the U.S. Food Administration had their new food guidelines or the healthy eating guidelines, too. Basically, and there was another story on basically all that talk about high cholesterol diets, bad for you. May not be bad for you after all. So basically, eat in moderation, but eat whatever the hell you want is what I got out of it.
Makes
pretty
sense.
Pretty easy.
You know?
I just like everything should have ish on it, just to make life easier. Mm. How fast were you going? Oh, 80-ish. So that way you don't get the ticket.
Yeah.
How much do you weigh? Ish.
This beer is more ish.
This one was definitely not ish. It was
bottle-ish. Bottle blonde.
Yeah, so just a quick update now on to the Belgian IPA from
North. Yeah, way better choice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Way better choice.
But yeah, I mean, that seems to be the common sense thing. Like, I mean, aside from your South Beach diets and, you know, I'm trying to remember now, the one where you eat like a caveman. Oh, I guess the caveman diet, but...
Paleo.
What makes most sense is just going back to a well-rounded diet. I mean, yeah. I am surprised it's taken this long to have someone to come out with like an actual, the ish diet.
Mm. You know, it's something maybe as I'm getting a little bit older, I'm getting a little bit more sensitive to what I'm putting in, but how long it just sits in my belly, where it's like, yeah, if I'm going to have a nice, really thick turkey sandwich, that's going to do me for a while. I might have a light supper after, you know, after.
I didn't think it was the turkey sandwiches rather than the bag of chips that chased said turkey sandwich.
But yeah, no, but that's the point. It's like it's all in moderation, and then you got to balance things out. So, you know, you do what you need to do, or you do your exercise. So tonight I made sure I put on my running clothes, and I did a couple laps around Point Pleasant Park so that I could enjoy some beer tonight. So, you know, it's one of these things that, you know, it's the whole picture, and it's very hard for a lot of people. I know we have a lot of problems with it in our household in terms of trying to stay clean and in terms of clean eating and processed foods and trying to eat organic, which of course with the food prices,
it's only going to get worse.
It's not cheap.
Well, with the plunging dollar value, it's... Well, actually, you know what? Maybe the plunging dollar value will do better for local farmers than that now that they can compete more on a price battle than anything else, and that's how you will get your organic intake.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was doing a couple of dishes here on... my cast iron skillet. I was taking some chicken thighs, and I threw in root vegetables and oven roasted. So carrots, potatoes, sweet potato, parsnips, whatever it is. I've been making that a couple times now. And I'm just thinking, you know, I don't know if it's the season, it's winter, maybe I'm thinking, you know, you're going into your root cellar, you're getting, you know, what's keeping down there, you might get some beets or whatever. You know, and then I was digging out, I tweeted earlier tonight, an old cookbook from Quebec-style eating, where it's basically one-pot meals and stuff like that, where you have a lot of, that needs to either bacon, lard, and lentils or beans.
That's supposed to be one of the bigger diets now coming up this year is the plus, as they call it, the lentils, beans, peas.
Oh, the roughage diet.
Yeah.
This all goes back to that conversation about upgrading to 3-ply toilet paper, because you'll need a lot of that for that sort of diet.
I missed that one.
You gotta take good care of that poop shoot. Trademark. There you go. You can't take that one from me, Storm Chips.
Ken was saying here on the chat here, if you make eating goal too restrictive, people won't do it. I like this approach. Do best as you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That's all you can do. That's all you can do.
I mean, following other sort of diet plans, I hate using the term diet, sorry, nutrition plans. Like, if you go to one of the most popular ones out there, the Weight Watchers one, Weight Watchers' basis is like, you can eat whatever the hell you want. Just bear in mind that if you eat the wrong things, it just means you got to really cut back on everything else. Mm. Doesn't mean you can't have the bad things. In fact, we don't want to take that away from you because then all you're going to do is think about it. So, yes, moderation everything, except beer. Just go nuts on beer.
And didn't the Weight Watchers redo the whole points thing?
They do it like they change underwear. They change their point system constantly. I can't keep up with it anymore. But the core of it is the core mantra of it is still the same. Record what you eat. Be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
Don't take it too harshly. Mm. Which I think is what this whole ish plan is.
Yeah.
I think if you really did do that, like keep track of what you ate for a full day, you'd probably say, oh my.
Yeah.
And again, moderation, right?
I'll tell you, I've done that a few times with a few apps on the phone, and I just record what I eat. And I'm like, whoops. Whoopsie die.
You're turning that phone on quite a bit, surprisingly.
Oh, Ken on the live chat says, Pulse, the Pulse Marketing Association has overtaken the Kale Marketing Association.
Hmm? Pulse? What's that? I'm not familiar with that one.
Well, we're not talking about kale anymore.
Remember, oh.
Remember 6 months ago?
I never talked about kale in the first place. If it's a vegetable that it's not worth eating, then I'm not going to talk about
it. Well, you know
what? For the same reason, there's no such thing as big Brussels sprouts.
They're good.
One pot cast iron skillet meals had some kale in it, and you know what? It was a good addition to the plate. Again, it was just you throw in the kale and you kind of steam it for like a minute or so in your pot. And then you just throw in the chicken or whatever, the meat, and then your root veggies, and then you just roast it that way. And it's good stuff. Kale is good in moderation.
You're not selling it.
Sorry. I know I'm not.
I'll do spinach. I'll do spinach. Don't get me wrong. And actually, one of the things when I do like the Vitamix smoothies, not the Vitamix brand of smoothies, but the Vitamix blender. I always add spinach to it because it's just an incredibly easy way to get iron into your diet in a very healthy source.
Jim, you've got to put out a few more of those Dutch oven recipes too.
Yes. Well, you know what? I'm going through my Quebec cookbook there tonight, and I think I got a couple.
Perfect.
I think it'll be good.
How much butter? How much is in those recipes?
Very little, but a lot of lard. You substitute the butter with lard. No, it's all good. There's one particular one where it's lentils and back bacon.
Sounds good.
You put that in one pot for a couple hours. I think it's 2 hours cook time.
All right, since we're going full-blown sort of cooking sort of things, have you guys looked into the sous vide sort of cooking apparatus?
I've seen some of that. I've had quite a bit of it.
Is it worth the cost of entering that realm of cooking? Like, to get the actual sous vide cooker? Those who have it seem to swear by it, and they will do almost everything using the sous vide process.
It's almost like the people who use pressure cookers to cook food in like 10 minutes instead of like, you know, 2 hours.
Yeah.
I've had pork ribs with sous vide, and it was amazing.
Tender.
Ken even says he's all about the sous vide, and the pulse are the beans like chickpeas.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, Oh, yeah, and I heard today, too, on NPR, chickpeas is the next big thing this year in terms of food.
Yep. Hummus! Yay!
Ken also says buy Anova.
Mm. That seems to be the brand that I hear from most of the podcasts that I follow that discuss sous vide.
Now, explain to the people who don't know what the hell you're talking about sous vide.
So sous vide is a process where, unlike your traditional sort of cooking, where you would take your dish, throw it into the oven, and then using hot air to circulate around the food item to actually cook the food. And by cooking, I mean actually like remove all the harmful bacteria out of the food to make it actually safe to eat and still somewhat delicious. The problem with that process is that, you have to heavily monitor the food because you could easily overcook something that's using that process. And B, the actual fact that you can overcook it. So then it becomes dry, husk, burnt, whatever you want to say with that. The sous vide process, what it uses instead is that you would take your food, put it into a plastic pouch with all the air removed, put it into a hot water bath that constantly circulates water around it at a highly controlled temperature, mm-hmm. much lower than what you'd have your regular food at. So you would then end up cooking food for a much longer period of time, but at a lower temperature, it's still extremely tender, extremely moist. It doesn't dry out at all. And you don't have sort of that time sensitivity where you only have a small window of it being cooked and overcooked. You can have something sitting in that pot for like an extra half hour to an hour, and it doesn't affect the taste of the food. The only thing that you have to kind of wrap your brain around is that when you actually are cooking meat now and you pull it out of this plastic bag, you'll still see a lot of pink in it. But it is perfectly 100% safe to eat using the power of science and the temperature that you set it at. And people swear by it.
Like I said, I had those pork ribs from Ratineau on Gottingen Street. Pork ribs, 17 hours in the sous vide. I ate it. I had some Boxing Rock U889 with it. It's fantastic.
Perfect.
It was one of the things I was thinking about getting, like a sous vide, but I mean, right now I'm trying to reduce my kitchen footprint, so I don't think now is the time for me to look into it, but down the road, yes.
Well, how much should it cost, Dan?
I can't speak for the Canadian pricing, but I think that typically you can pick a unit for U.S. dollars from Amazon for like $160 or something like that.
Okay.
Ken was saying here you set the temp to be the final temperature, so medium steak, 139.5, and flip steak over 90 seconds on a hot pan to sear. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yep. I mean, and again, when you cut it open, you'll see pink. You'll see lots of pink, but it's a safe pink.
I mean, folks, you know, if you haven't gone to a couple of these eateries that do, like, you know, I have a Ratineau here in Halifax. You know, they do their dry cured meats and their prosciutto, and they do a lot of sous vide stuff. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, we got Ken here on the chat that swears by it. We got Dan that's all into it. Mike, you've had some sous vide stuff before?
No, I haven't, actually.
Ken says here you can cut it with a fork. It's like butter. I mean, imagine a steak that you can just – it's like butter. It just
sounds good.
Right off. Oh, it's outrageous. It's outrageous. Out of control, as Jocelyn would say if he was in there.
I'm trying to pull up a picture of it so you can actually
see. Bring up a picture of this bag so we can see the
– Well, the bags themselves, like you can do it with like a really good quality Ziploc bag. But you can get things like those food savers that you normally see at Costco, and that's probably a preferred way to do it. So here, let me try and share the screen.
So the unit is kind of like the heating water circulator unit that you were talking about? You'll bring up the picture here.
Yeah, so there it is there. Let me just scroll up. It seems to be this sort of wand that you can see that you just kind of throw into a pot like such. And that's keeps the water at a specific temperature. I don't know if that's actually showing up on the screen properly.
Yeah.
There we go. And that's all it is.
So in this picture here, you have this meat in a plastic bag, like a food saver, a Ziploc, you know, like a high-end plastic bag. And you have it in a pot, could be your stainless steel pot. And you basically have a temperature gauge that just keeps it constant.
Yeah. So all it does is a heating wand that heats the water, keeps it at a constant temperature, and it's kept at a relatively, like Ken was saying, at a much lower temperature than you typically use for baking purposes or roasting. And then that's all it does. It's a single purpose. It just, you lock it at a certain temperature, you set it, and forget it.
It's very interesting.
It's crazy. Science.
And I think I saw at the top there somewhere, or at least on one of the pages, it said 179, I think it was listed at. Oh, whoa, this is the Deluxe one. Because it has Wi-Fi.
I guess
if you want a non-Wi-Fi one, you can get it cheaper.
I will totally.
So I guess you get your smartphone to cook it for you.
Basically, yeah, it looks like it. If you look down here, there's like everything in the world, there's an app for that.
Can my flip phone do that?
I'm sure if you use a program like If This Then That, you can make it work with your flip phone.
Ken was saying here that one of those things can keep the temperature within 0.5 degrees.
Wow.
And it makes you a better parent, as you can see from this picture here.
Totally, because the child's happy that she has tender meats.
Exactly.
Oh, that is fun stuff. But you know what? Between the cast iron cooking and the sous vide, I tell you, there's a lot of stuff you can do with meat in terms of getting the taste and getting some flavors out of it. So, Ken here is talking about Bluetooth, and you know what? Let's do the one last little bit, then we can get into the last topic, Dan, which was the Internet of Things,
IoT.
But I just wanted to show, and I think it definitely made the rounds last day or so. But just a great picture from the Montreal traffic camera, a snowy owl in Montreal. So I did not know this. I learned this while reading the article. These things are from the Arctic Circle, and during the winter they migrate to warmer climates, which is Montreal, which can't stay -20, -30 Celsius, no problem. Anyway, this is their migration period, so you can find them maybe in Ontario, around Ottawa and all that.
Yeah, I think I've seen, not seen them personally, but when I used to live in Ottawa, I hear about snowy owls making it down to there.
Yeah.
So I've seen them here several times.
Oh, yeah?
And I have actually got a picture of one on a Coast Guard ship when I was in the Arctic Circle. It landed on ship, and we were 5 feet away from it.
Oh, right on.
So see if I can dig out that picture for you.
It's one of the few animals that, to be quite honest, I like the snowy owl. Snowy owl is my buddy.
They're cool.
So this only proves that Harry Potter exists in Montreal.
Oh, my God. Yes, and of course, today, when people finally saw the article, it's like, oh, Hedwig. It's like, you know what?
So as we were talking about earlier, the amazing part, if you think about it, because it's from a traffic cam that was actually recorded this, but there'd have to have been someone watching that traffic cam at that exact moment where this happened and said, whoa, record back to that timestamp. Because as I imagine, there can't be any sort of software that's being used to monitor things that show or cross the camera's path. Some sort of, as I said before, algorithm. trademark.
Well, you know, this was on the 40 around the sources, which is a pretty busy spot there. So maybe they do have people monitoring that. You don't know. Eh? It's funny. I did go on Reddit, and I did find the actual video clip. So it was actually, what we saw here on the picture was the best frame of there.
And it's a beautiful frame, too.
Ah, fantastic. It's great. It's, Yeah, I don't know about you, but I am a big fan of traffic cameras. I will try to find traffic cameras, and especially during a storm and stuff, I use the traffic cams to gauge the road conditions. I think that's everywhere. Mm-hmm. Ken was saying here, sous vide is great, but it says, but you're cooking, Jim, over the campfire, cast iron pot is the bomb.
Well, fire.
Well, we're getting close here. Well, let me tell you, the next dish I'll do to put online, it's going to be one of these the Quebec dishes here. So I got my Christmas tree curing out back. I'll be using that to start my fire. So
perfect.
Oh yeah, well, that's good stuff. But let's quickly talk about the thing we wanted to get back to, which was the Internet of Things. We're talking about Dan Suvid, this Anova. Yeah, it has a Wi-Fi and, kind of alerts you when your stuff is ready. But, Dan, we had the CES show.
Yes. If we're going to talk about the IoT, the Internet of Things with CES, one of the biggest examples of it was something that was being demonstrated by a mixture of Microsoft and Samsung using smart appliances and software from Microsoft and Cortana, which is Microsoft's version of Siri, for those who haven't played with that. And they showed the fact that using smart requests to Cortana, saying things like, is my washing machine still running? It would actually talk to the washing machine, find out where it is in the cycle, and report back to you on the phone. It also will detect things like how often somebody's opening up the refrigerator and how long they're keeping it open. So people that have like fobs in their keychains and that, it will detect those so they can see who's approaching the fridge, who's taking food out of the fridge, how often they're approaching the fridge. So you can use this as a tracking mechanism to see, if your kids are following the ISH program or not. So they're really trying to take away a lot of the thinking from people and having to manage their household and allow sort of statistics be able to kind of gauge where you're moving forward. The other big thing that trend I was noticing from CES, 3D is dead as far as TVs are concerned. The next two big things are going to be 8K, which 8K. I mean, I don't know too many people with 4Ks to begin with, but 8K seems to be the next hurdle that they're going towards. But the more important one actually is HDR. Because one of the things that a lot of people don't realize, unless they have a really fantastic TV, is the dynamic range of most TVs aren't that, especially when it comes to like LCDs and that, isn't that great. So your blackest, what I'm talking about is that your darkest scene and your lightest scene, the range that you have between the two, isn't as good as what you'd see in the movie theater, for example. So if you have that sort of that horror movie where someone's creeping in the dark and something bright shows up, either the bright thing will be completely blown out or you don't see the details in the dark. And they're trying to fix that with the next range of televisions with this HDR mode that they're introducing there. So that was the other really interesting thing I noticed from CES. Laptops seem to be getting stupidly thin, but I mean, we've been hurtling towards that trend. And of course, electric cars.
Yes. Well, I only noticed the big sales, Boxing Day sales on the 4K TVs, but now you're saying 8K. I should hold off for 8K.
Nah, well, then you get into the whole content thing. Is content ever going to come out and utilize 8K? There's not a lot of 4K sources to begin with, so, I mean...
Well, we're just starting to see 4K on YouTube with some of the channels, you know, with the drones and all that coming out. So
the last version of GoPro, like GoPro Black Plus, 2 years ago, I got one of those, and they were 4K then. But there's no TVs 4K now. 4K is out probably a year, and they're going 8K, but I've never gone over 1080p on the GoPro video.
No, it's what you get back for the amount of like storage it takes actually, yeah, and bandwidth to actually produce that picture. Yeah. It's not worth it. I mean, if you want to go down that road, what they say is you're better off recording something in 1080p and upscaling it to 4K and using the algorithms of the upscaling versus trying to do your whole workflow in a 4K sort of domain.
Actually, most of my videos I do in just 760, is it?
720.
720.
Yeah, all of my stuff is in 480.
Is it? Okay.
No, it's not. It's...
Yeah. That's DVD quality.
A lot of numbers. Well, I just remembered that our main TV upstairs is 720.
Mm-hmm. And still good.
Still good. We watch our Netflix. Can't notice nothing.
No.
Once you're getting into apps and looking at, like I am this monitor, I said I had to buy a new monitor on the computer right now. This is full HD, but, you know, 1080, but you can have for this application, it's a big difference. Same thing when you're going to 4K. You know, I'm sure, you know, some apps, if I'm watching some of the new drone videos, I had a 4K monitor, I would probably be blown away. Kind of like
the Canada thing.
Well, it kind of like when you went to the Sony store, one of the stores, and they show the regular standard DVD resolution and Blu-ray resolution, how clear that was.
Yeah.
I tell you what, but Ken is waiting for 64K.
Oh, jeez. No, I think the next step is just have sort of a neural link to the video footage so it goes directly to the brain. So that way you don't have the intermediary of eyeballs getting in the way.
You're probably not that far off.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, let's wrap things up here. And
Jim, I just wanted to show one quick picture. Like, just before I joined the Hangout, I saw this, and I just wanted to pass this along because I thought, I want to know the story behind this one.
Wife stabs husband with squirrel.
Yeah, I don't have any further detail to it. I just literally caught that on Reddit, and I'm like, I need more info.
That squirrel must have been sharp.
Or she could be really determined. I don't know, one or the other.
Crazy. Crazy. All right, let's do a quick round of plus ones, stuff that you've seen, read, that you want to recommend to other people who are watching here. So, for me, it is the latest episode of Serial. Serial has been, season two has been off to a slow start, but episode four got out yesterday, listened to it today, and I'm back in.
Nice. Check that one out.
I haven't watched any listened to any in the past two episodes simply because I've been forbidden until I let the wife catch up. But now we'll step forward and get into those two episodes.
All right. And Mike, you got anything that you seen or read?
I actually got Netflix over Christmas.
What?
Finally.
Welcome to the club.
Kiss your evenings goodbye.
Yeah. I watched the Australian version of Secrets and Lies. It was only six episodes, but it was really good. Okay. There was an American version on last year. I think they've gone into a second season. But the first season is one case, and like I say, it's six episodes, so about 45 minutes an episode. It was really good. Quite surprising, actually, the outcome.
It's. I was reading a neat article about how Netflix, of course, now Netflix is in 130 countries. It is a huge motivator or a huge platform. The biggest show ever is Adam Sandler's Notorious Six, I think it's called. I watched 20 minutes of it. I kind of fell asleep at the couch because it was one of the things I opted to watch and fall asleep on purpose. So I don't hold it against it. But it is becoming the platform where you know what? Netflix can push something. You can make or break either a career or a movie. So if something only makes $500,000 in theaters, then Netflix decides, yeah, you know what? We're going to give this a little push. You know, and the metrics show that people like that movie. Yep. Might see a little bit more in your feed, you know, in your suggested title. So it's pretty interesting. Netflix knows a lot about us.
They know I like Paw Patrol.
It's very convenient to watch a series that you may not even have heard tell about TV and watch it when you want, not when TV dictates that you should watch it.
Oh, I love it. When I do get access to the TV, I do watch it. Now, I do watch stuff on the phone or the iPad when certain shows. Ken saying here on the chat, Adam Sandler movies would be always be better without Adam Sandler. But this is the interesting thing about this Notorious Six. There are enough people who have watched that show, or Netflix knew there are enough people who like Adam Sandler's stuff that they will watch it.
Yep.
And it is pretty interesting when you get into it. Of course, I'm always a big fan of Big Trouble in Little China, so that is my show on Netflix. It always comes off Netflix for a month and then comes back on. I love it. Love that show. All right, let's wrap it up for the evening. We've gone, we did our hour, so reduced panel tonight. Thanks, Ken, for chatting with us tonight. Thanks for
fantastic. Thanks for jumping in there, Ken.
Podcast listeners, we'll do this again next week. Live streamers, we'll do this again next week also. Thanks a lot for watching, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
Since Chris is not here, I'll do it on her behalf.
Okay.
Good meeting!
Good meeting!
Good meeting.